As I set down these notes on paper, I am obsessed by the thought that I may be the last living man on Earth. I've been hiding in this empty house near Grover's Mill, a small island of daylight cut off by the black smoke from the rest of the world. All that happened before the arrival of these monstrous creatures in the world now seems part of another life, a life that has no continuity with the present, furtive existence of the lonely derelict who pencils these words on the back of some astronomical notes bearing the signature of Richard Pearson. I look down at my blackened hands, my torn shoes, my tattered clothes, and I try to connect them with a professor who lives at Princeton and who, on the night of October 30th, glimpsed through his telescope an orange splash of light on a distant planet. My wife, my colleagues, my students, my books, my observatory, my world. Where are they? Did they ever exist? Am I Richard Pearson? What day is it? Do days exist without calendars? Does time pass when there are no human hands left to wind the clocks? In writing down my daily life, I tell myself I shall preserve human history between the dark covers of this little book that was meant to record the movement of the stars. But to write, I must live, and to live, I must eat. I find moldy bread in the kitchen and an orange not too spoiled to swallow. I keep watching at the window. From time to time, I catch sight of a Martian above the black smoke. The smoke still holds the house in its black coil. But at length, there is a hissing sound, and suddenly I see a Martian mounted on his machine, spraying the air with a jet of steam as if to dissipate the smoke. I watch in a corner as his huge metal legs nearly brush against the house. Exhausted by terror, I fall asleep. It's morning. It's morning. Sun streams in the window, the black cloud of gas has lifted, and the scorched meadows to the north look as though a black snowstorm has passed over them. I venture from the house. I make my way to a road. No traffic. Here and there a wrecked car. Baggage overturned, a blackened skeleton. I push on north. For some reason, I feel safer trailing these monsters than running away from them, and I keep a careful watch. I have seen the Martians feed. Should one of their machines appear over the top of the trees, I am ready to fling myself flat on the earth. I come to a chestnut tree. October. Chestnuts are ripe. I fill my pockets. I must keep alive. 2 days I wander in a vague northerly direction through a desolate world. Finally, I notice a living creature. A small red squirrel in a beech tree. I stare at him and wonder. He stares back at me. I believe at that moment the animal and I shared the same emotion, the joy of finding another living being. I push on north. I find dead cows in a brackish field beyond the charred ruins of a dairy. The silo remains standing guard over the wasteland like a lighthouse deserted by the sea. Astride the silo perches a weathercock. The arrow points north. Next day, I come to a city vaguely familiar in its contours, yet its buildings strangely dwarfed and leveled off, as if a giant had sliced off its highest towers with a capricious sweep of his hand. I reach the outskirts. I found Newark. Newark, undemolished, but humbled by some whim of the advancing Martians. Presently, with an odd feeling of being watched, I caught sight of something crouching in a doorway. I made a step towards it. And it rose up and became a man. A man armed with a large knife.
Stop! Stop. Where did you come from?
I come from many places a long time ago, from Princeton.
Princeton, huh? That's near Grover's Mill.
Yes.
Grover's Mill. Look, there's no food here. This is my country. All this into town, down to the river. There's only food for one. Which way are you going?
I don't know. I guess I'm looking for people.
What was that? Did you hear something just then?
No. Only a bird. A live bird.
Yeah. Yeah, a bird. You get to know the birds have shadows these days. Hey, we're in the open here. Let's crawl into this doorway over here and we'll talk.
Have you seen any Martians?
No, they've gone over to New York. At night, the sky is alive with their lights. You know, just as if people are still living in it. By daylight, you can't see them. 5 days ago, a couple of them carried something big across the flats from the airport. I think they're learning how to fly.
Fly?
Yeah, fly.
Then it's all over with humanity. Stranger, there's still you and I. Two of us left.
Yeah, they got themselves in solid. They wrecked the greatest country in the world. Those green stars, they're probably falling somewhere every night. They've only lost one machine. There isn't anything to do. We're done. We're licked.
Where were you? You're in a uniform.
Yeah, what's left of it. I was in the militia, National Guard. That's good. Yeah, wasn't any war any more than there's war between men and ants.
Yes, but we are edible ants. I found that out. What will they do to us?
Okay, now I've thought all this out. See, right now, we're caught as we're wanted. The Martian only has to go a few miles to get a crowd on the run, but they won't keep on doing that. They'll begin catching us systematic, like, see? Keeping the best and storing us in cages and things. They haven't begun on us yet.
Not begun?
No, not begun. All that's happened so far is because we don't have sense enough to keep quiet. Bothering them with guns and such stuff and losing our heads and rushing off in crowds. Now, instead of our rushing around blind, we gotta fix ourselves up, see? Fix ourselves up according to the way things are now. Cities, nations, civilization, progress.
But if that's so, what is there to live for?
Well, there won't be any more concerts for a million years or so, and no nice little dinners at restaurants. So if it's amusement you're after, I guess the game's up.
What is there left?
It's life. Life, that's what. I want to live, and so do you. We're not going to be exterminated. And I don't mean to be caught either, and tamed and fattened and bred like an ox.
What are you going to do?
I'm going on. Right under their feet. I got a plan. We men as men. Okay, fine, we're finished. We don't know enough. We got to learn plenty before we've got a chance. We've got to live and keep free while we learn, see? Now, I've thought it all out, you see?
Tell me the rest.
Well, it isn't all of us that are made for wild beasts, and that's what it's got to be. That's why I watched you. See, I watched you. All these little office workers that used to live in these houses, they'd be no good. They haven't any stuff to them. They just used to run off to work. I've seen hundreds of them running to catch their commuter's train in the morning, afraid they'd get canned if they didn't, running back at night, afraid they wouldn't be in time for dinner. Lives insured and a little invested in case of an accident, you know? Yeah. And on Sundays, worried about the hereafter. Well, the Martians will be a godsend for these guys. Nice roomy cages, good food, careful breeding, no worries. Yeah. After a week or so of chasing around the fields on empty stomachs, they'll come and be glad to be caught.
You've thought it all out, haven't you?
You bet I have. Now, that isn't all. These Martians, they're going to make pets of some of them. Train them to do tricks. Who knows? Get sentimental over the pet boy who grew up and had to be killed. Yeah. And some maybe they'll train to hunt us.
Oh, no. That's impossible. No human being.
Yes, they will. There's men who'll do it gladly. If one of them ever comes after me, why...
In the meantime, you and I and others like us, where are we to live when the Martians own the Earth?
I've got it all figured out, see. We'll live underground. Now, I've been thinking about the sewers. Under New York, there's miles and miles of them. The main ones are big enough for anybody. Then there's cellars, vaults, underground storerooms, railway tunnels, subways. Ah, you begin to see, don't you? We'll get a bunch of strong men together, no weak ones. All that rubbish gets out.
And you meant me to go?
Well, I gave you a chance, didn't I?
We won't quarrel about that. Go on.
Well, we've got to make safe places for us to stay in, see? And get all the books we can. Those science books. That's where men like you come in, see? Yeah. We'll raid the museums. We'll even spy on the Martians. It may not be so much we have to learn before. Now, just imagine this. Four or five of their own fighting machines suddenly start off. Heat rays right and left, and not a Martian in them. Not a Martian in them, see? But men. Men who have learned the way how. It may even be in our time. Gee, imagine having one of them lovely things with its heat ray wide and free. Oh, we turn it on Martians, we turn it on men, we bring everybody down to their knees!
That's your plan?
Yeah. You and me and a few more of us. See, we'd own the world.
I see.
Hey, what's the matter? Where are you going?
Not to your world. Goodbye, stranger.
The War of the Worlds will continue on the Mark and Brian radio program on 95.5 KLOS.